Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by the FTN Network, with your hosts, Ray Garvin and Derek Brown, breaking down NFL action with the info you need to crush your fantasy leagues.
Welcome back, everybody, for episode 3 of the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Y'all know who it is, your boy Ray G. You can find me on Twitter at RayGQ, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime, at least for the next 4 episodes, Derek Brown. You can find Derek on Twitter at Dbro underscore FFB. Dbro, how you doing, big dog? You've been doing some things. Listen, the people know you've been doing some things. So just let us know what's going on, man.
Man, some things and some stuff, dude. We're going to talk about this off the hop, and then we talked about it. We got 4 shows and stuff. Yeah. Everybody already knows, I'm probably like, if you're here listening to this on the airwaves, you're probably playing catch up to the Twitter stuff, man. Like, people a little bit of step behind, but again, we're gonna cross this over, man. Yeah. I got presented with an opportunity I could not pass up. You know, you got crossroads in life and you got to make some choices and some decisions and for your family and things like that, dude. Absolutely. And it's like, look, had an opportunity and I accepted a position with Fantasy Pros and I couldn't pass it up, dude. So we're going to hop on here. We're going to chop up some dynasty stuff, keep talking some football. And I told FTN, I was like, look, I got to sit here and talk some more fantasy with Ray before I get up out the building, baby. Yeah, I got to sit here and talk some more dynasty with you, man. So I'm not going to say it's not bittersweet. Like, I love FTN. I love the family there. I love everybody. And I love for the opportunity that they gave me to realize a dream, man. Like, you know, coming from I'm not the prettiest guy. I might be the loudest guy. I don't know. We might fight for that title. But with all things said, man, this was realizing a dream going full time in this space. And I appreciate and thank everybody at FTN. I love so many people, including yourself over there with FTN. But honestly, look, man, I had an opportunity and I had to take it. You know, it was nothing more like that. And look, this is all to say that there's no bad blood. It's all water under the bridge. We're all fam. We're all friends still. And it's all good, baby. So, you know, we like things change.
I got bad blood, man. I just slept with you in the room. We had our twin size beds at the Senior Bowl. Me and you bonding time. I mean, in the bed, we're up late night giggling and laughing with one another. We're having a good time. And then we get home.
This is a long story. You had to deal with my damn snoring for like 3 nights in a row.
Leave me. You snore on me. We laugh all night. And then we get back home to the great state of Texas. And then you dip on me. But no, in all seriousness, very happy for you. Awesome opportunity. And, you know, going to miss you. But I'm going to enjoy these episodes while we have you. And listen, not often do we get an opportunity. Shit, it's only 3 episodes in, but not often do we get an opportunity to talk about some fresh, relevant fantasy football news and content. Mm-hmm. But we got it. Something popped off today, man, and I missed it. I was actually at work, and my phone was blowing up. But I saw that Russell Wilson was traded. Massive deal. Russell Wilson dealt to the Seattle Seahawks for Drew Lock, Noah Fant, defensive lineman Shelby Harris, 2 first-round picks, including the 109 this year, 2 second-round picks. I believe one is this year, one is in 2023, and a 5th-round pick, and the Denver Broncos got back Russell Wilson and a 4th-rounder. I mean, a lot, right? Seattle, you know, ships away Russell Wilson, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, Super Bowl champion, perennial Pro Bowl-caliber quarterback. And in return, they get Drew Lock, you know, a good tight end, a good defensive lineman, and some picks. They got a bunch of picks back. What are your thoughts on this, man? Just, and you can take it. There's no right or wrong direction to take this because there's so many. I mean, we can literally spend the whole show talking about the players from Seattle and Denver. But how do you feel about this deal? Was there a winner? Was there a loser? Are you excited? Are you kind of lukewarm? What are you feeling about this one?
Man, this was a massive deal, and when this hit the airwaves, and we're gonna, and to let all the good people know, like, we're gonna dive through. There was so much freaking news that hit the airwaves, whether it was contracts, franchise tags. We're gonna sit here and spend this episode, just this episode, to go through all of this news and break all of this down for everybody from a dynasty perspective. And with this deal, I mean, Ray, like, you got to feel good if you're Denver. I know that they gave up a ton, but really all the same things were said about like whenever the Rams went out and gave up what people thought was a ton to get Matthew Stafford. We saw how that worked out. You have teams going out and acquiring quarterbacks, and the price is not cheap, man. It ain't cheap in Dynasty if you're playing Superflex to get a quarterback trade to happen, and it's not cheap in the NFL. So I like this move for Denver. Like, they have the parts and pieces. Yeah, they gave up Fant. Yeah, they gave up Harris. I don't give a damn about Drew Locke. But, like, this all is to say that, like, they gave up a lot of picks, but, you know, Seattle's got to hit on those picks, man. Like, if they don't hit on those picks, and we know that picks are just the NFL draft is scattershot as hell. I'm really interested on what this means, and we're going to talk about all the fallout for this, well, the dynasty perspective for both of these teams and a lot of these players. But I think this makes Denver a legitimate contender. Now, you know, I'm not going to get hyperbolic and say, wow, Super Bowl favorite,
right,
baby.
Right.
But
right.
I think that, you know, you look at them like, are they a playoffs contender? Hell yes. Are they a contender? And then at AFC West with all the quarterbacks that are in that division, you better believe it, baby. And like with Seattle, they could do a lot of different things here, Ray. Like, could they go and draft Malik Willis in the top 10 and use that pick? Could they use those assets to move up to get Willis if they need to hop somebody like Carolina at 6? Yes, again, that could easily happen. Could they go and turn around and make a trade for Deshaun Watson? That could happen as well, man. Like, I think that people are looking at this and they're saying, all right, well, Seattle's going to automatically draft a quarterback, you know, and that could happen. I'm not saying that it can't, but it's a shit ton of picks, dude. Like, they could easily just turn around and flip some of this, not all of it, probably.
Right.
Get Watson in a deal, but what are your thoughts, dude? I really love this, and I know Denver gave up the bag, but I like this for the Broncos.
Well, listen, they have we kept talking about it, you know, for months, right? That Denver was a team that if they got a quarterback, they've got a win now defense, they've got a win now team. They've got running backs, they have weapons, the offensive line is solid, defensively they've got a good squad, and we kept pigeonholing rookies in there. Now, Denver said, "The hell with the rookies. Let's go get the proven veteran who's still relatively young when you're talking in terms of quarterback life, shelf life in the NFL. Russ has still got, you know, 5-6 good, you know, Russell Wilson type years left. In that mile high air, throwing that moon ball up, letting it float in that high altitude, right? Getting down the field for Sutton and Judy. I think Denver played it well, you know. You hit the nail on the head. I know a lot of times people see picks and we think damn rookie drafts and we're thinking fantasy wise, but you got to hit on those picks, man. And the hit rate in the history of hitting on first round quarterbacks, first round picks in general, it's just difficult. So instead of gambling on a Corral, a Kenny Pickett, a Malik Willis, go take the proven asset, go take the proven winner, go take one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Russell Wilson, solidify that offense and figure out the rest later. I think this was a great move for Denver. I'm with you. I'm not going to be prisoner of the moment to be like, boom, they're Super Bowl. They're in the AFC West, bro. They still have to deal with, and I'm just going to say it. Let's get them out the way first. Derek Carr, good quarterback, not great. But once you get through level one, which is Derek Carr, then you got to go through level two, which is Justin Herbert and the Chargers, right? You got to deal with that twice a year. Then if you by chance get through level two, then you got to meet Bowser, the final boss, which is Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And you got to take them down twice a year and potentially in the playoffs. So good move for Denver. And I think an even better move for all the other teams in the NFC, like Aaron Rodgers, not that Seattle was some significant threat, but had Russell Wilson been traded to the Panthers or to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, that's more competition for Aaron Rodgers and old Green Bay. Now you get one of the best quarterbacks out of the NFC. You don't have to worry about that, him going to a different team. And speaking of Rodgers, it's crazy that something would overshadow it, but we don't get a lot of opportunities to talk trades in the NFL, especially when you're talking about these big time players. But Aaron Rodgers, he got the bag, D-Bro. I'm trying to get that Aaron Rodgers type bag, bro. I'm trying to get that 200 M's or whatever the hell it was he got. But Aaron Rodgers, I've been saying it all along, D-Bro. I've been saying it all along. He was not going anywhere. He's here for the drama, lives for the drama, back in Green Bay. What did you think about Aaron Rodgers returning to Green Bay?
With Aaron Rodgers, man, I mean, look, it's the Brady thing, but I mean, they talked about it, like, and they said that he came out and said that there was nothing that was finalized. But the rumors are 4 years, 200 milli. And with that type of deal, I'm pretty sure that the structure is probably going to be like, it's like 2 years of high kind of money. And maybe they can get out after that. You know what I mean? Considering his age and stuff like that. And maybe he goes year to year. You know, we get a Tom Brady, Drew Brees type of situation where if they wanted to go to another situation or Rodgers retired, then they're not going to be left holding the bag. That's probably what we're looking at. But for Green Bay, man, and for dynasty purposes, I mean, this is really what you wanted for Aaron Rodgers. It gives him a second shelf life, just like Tom Brady and some of these older quarterbacks. For Green Bay and for Devontae Adams, who they tagged today, I mean, it's just – you just saddle him back up and you're riding again, man. Like, Adams, this gives – I think that for dynasty purposes – this gives you that second type of window. Now, if you're competing and you're win now in dynasty and you wanted to hold on to Aaron Rodgers and you're like, look, I got a top 12, top 10 dynasty quarterback, especially in Superflex, that's fine. For me, this gives you the second window to be able to get rid of him and Adams. Like, if you want to get out from under them, this is the time to do it, dude. Like, everybody's all, you know, he's got 4 years and stuff like that. We don't have full details of the contract to say, oh, well, it's really a one-year deal or two-year deal, and then the money falls off. So right now, everybody's like, oh, 4 years, baby. And Adam's got a tag, and maybe they sign him to a 2-3 year deal or something on top of that. Because it can happen. This is the time, if you're going to move him in Dynasty, you better get to getting, man. Like, you better get those offers out, get him in packages, and ship him. Now, because you ain't going to be able to do it after this. I mean, what are your thoughts, Ray?
I mean, this is the time to do it. I mean, he's locked in. He's got his guy back. He's solidified. Man, I saw something where it was like $153 million guaranteed. And I just saw that. Oof. I'm just like, the things I would do for $153 million. D-Bro, listen, man. I know we shared quarters together for a couple of nights. 153 mil. There ain't much old GQ wouldn't do, but it's
no nah, man. I do some dirty things for 150 mil. Some dirty things.
Oh. Screw the three. Just give me the 150. But no, this is good for Aaron Rodgers. It's good for Green Bay. And it's good for those of us who play in dynasty leagues. Because you do have that insulation now. He's locked in. You know he's going to be there for the next at least 2 years, right? 2 to 3 years. You get that sort of protection, and you can sell him. You know, if you're ready, like, look, he's locked in. He's back. He's back in Green Bay. He's got Devontae Adams. I mean, shit, my first thing that I did when I heard that was run out and check Devontae Adams' prop line on Prize Picks. I wanted to try to catch that 1,300 that it's sitting at because, shit, as long as he's healthy, he's going well over 1,300 receiving yards. But I think this is good for Devontae Adams. It's good for Aaron Rodgers in the short term. It's good for those of us in Dynasty who have Rodgers and Adams and or one or the other because it does provide you an opportunity to move those guys. And the receiving party feels safe and confident that they got, you know, at least a solid quarterback and wide receiver on the hands for the next couple of years. And I didn't mean that. So I skipped over this part and I didn't mean to skip over this part, but we got to go back to Denver. We got to talk about the fallout for real quickly, the Denver Broncos skill position players and the Seattle Seahawks skill position players. So we got to talk Javonta. You know, you talked about, you know, there was a show where you talked some stuff about Jerry Jeudy, but I need to know, what are you thinking about Jeudy and Sutton and Albert O? And then from the Seattle side, Carson and DK Metcalf. I'm hearing a lot of people panicking on DK Metcalf. What's the fallout from these two quarterback changes?
So, yeah, I'm going to eat some bitter crow, dude. I'm going to eat a lot of bitter crow. It does not taste good, but I'm going to pull out the fork and knife about Jerry Jeudy. People go back and check the receipts. I said to sell him in Dynasty. Obviously, that take is not looking great right now, considering these moves and this trade and stuff. But I think, like, look, I adjusted Dynasty ranks today. I moved Sutton and I moved Jeudy up. I think that if you're asking me who I want out of the two of them, I think it obviously helps both of their stock, but give me Sutton over Jeudy, man. I still believe that he is the talent, and really this comes down to we're splitting hairs here, man. Like, people are going to pick and choose who they think could step forward and be that type of alpha guy. I think it's Courtland Sutton over Jerry Jeudy. I could easily be wrong considering this, but really that's all to say that, yes, both of them get a bump, and they're both kind of in that wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 – dynasty wide receiver tier. for me right now, I think the biggest guy right now, because I did not touch Javonte Williams in my dynasty ranks. When you got the guy at RB3, it's kind of hard to go a little bit any higher than that. You know, like, it is what it is, man. Like, I was super high on him to begin with, but, like, he was going to be a stud. He's still going to be a stud. Like, this should surprise nobody. But the guy that I think that gets the biggest bump here with Noah Fant leaving town is Albert O, baby. Like, the guy is an athletic marvel. He's young. He's there for two more years. They got all these dudes, like, it's Sutton, it's Judy, it's Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, and Albert O are all under contract for the next two seasons. So they're set up really, really nice where they don't have to worry about paying nobody. I think Fant was actually going to come up this year, or maybe it was next year, where he was going to need a new contract. So it makes sense of him getting out of town. But I think it's wheels up for all these guys, man. Like, I think Albert O, I moved him into my top 12 dynasty tight ends.
Oh, top 12. Okay.
I mean, once you get past like 10, 11-ish, it's kind of it gets dicey fast. Like, where would you put them? And I got to get you Sutton and Judy take here.
Well, I don't know where I'd have Albert O. He'd be a big time dynasty sell for me right now if I had him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
And, you know, if people are valuing him that high, I would be trying to ship him off of my roster, and I'd be fine with taking a 2022 or 2023 second round pick for Albert O.
Agreed. That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, get you a second and get out.
Yeah, I'd much rather a couple of the tight ends that were tagged that we'll get to in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Sutton, you know, listen, it's a stock up for the receivers, man. Anytime you go from Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock and the guy who was playing wide receiver in, you know, college a couple of years ago, and Flacco, whoever else the hell else they had throwing the ball at there. Anytime you go from that to Russell Wilson, that's a stock up, man. Let's not overthink it. This is a great opportunity for Jerry Jeudy going into year three. And we talked about this when you said he was a sell, I kind of was like, it's this year or bust, right? Like, he's got to make it this year. If he can't thrive with Russell Wilson, then it's a wrap, right? Cortland Sutton, we kind of know what he is. I think he's going to be fine. I think the more interesting debate is DK Metcalf in Seattle. It was awesome, you know, having Russell Wilson throw the ball 11 times a game to DK Metcalf, but we appreciated those 11 throws. Seattle's going to be bad. Seattle's going to be a bad team. Whether it's Drew Lock at quarterback or Malik Willis or Matt Corral, they're going to have a young quarterback or a not very good quarterback in Drew Lock, and potentially young and not good, depending on what those rookies do. I think DK is going to be fine, man. I'm betting on the talent. It'd be interesting to see what they do with him, right? What does DK do? What do they do with him? He doesn't have that fifth-year option. He wasn't a first-round pick. So I think this is DK's going into year – is this going into year three or four?
I'm actually looking it up right now because I was going to say, I was like, I think he's up for a contract. Yep, he is an unrestricted free agent in 2023, dude. So,
man,
I'm with you. Like, I did not move DK Metcalf in my dynasty ranks. And that might surprise people hearing that. But, like, you hit the nail on the head, dude. Like, we're betting on talent. We were talking about this on Twitter before we even got on the mics, dude. Like, there's so many different ways that if you believe that DK Metcalf is that damn dude, he's the alpha, he's that guy, then he's got outs. Like, maybe he doesn't re-sign in Seattle. Maybe Seattle gives him the bag and they get a quarterback. Hell, maybe they draft Malik Willis and then, like, Malik Willis is that dude. The other thing is, like, if they trade for Deshaun Watson, like, then it's like, okay, well, then so what? It's wheels up. Like, there's so many different outs for DK Metcalf that, like, I really don't give a shit. Like, for me, bet on talent. He's got the damn talent. He's young as hell. I'm not moving him in my dynasty ranks. If you want to, like, bump down Tyler Lockett, I get it because of age and maybe some of the uncertainties and stuff like this. But honestly, if I bump down Tyler Lockett, I'm not bumping him down much. But what are your thoughts? I mean, we're simpatico on DK Metcalf. What are your thoughts on Lockett, though? Do you move him down at least a little bit, or is it just like, I want to see how the rest of this plays out as far as with the quarterback situation?
Yeah, I think you got to, right? My thing with Lockett is he's a little bit older, so I just want to see if they're even gonna, like, do they try to move him now? You know what I mean? Like, is he next up on the trade block? I mean, both of these guys aren't gonna, if it's Drew Lock at the helm, it's a stock down for the entire offense, right? And I think in the short term, if it's a rookie quarterback, probably still stock down for all those guys. So Lockett being, I believe, 27 years old, Tyler Lockett, I'd probably be trying to move him. But at this point, you probably got to hold and pray for better. 29. I said 27. 29. And it says, look, there's reports that Seattle's open to trading a veteran, Tyler Lockett. So I wouldn't be shocked if we see Tyler Lockett move around. That'd probably be good for him. Let him try to get on a team that can contend, and I think he'll reclaim some of that dynasty value. So hold on to Tyler Lockett. Don't panic on DK Metcalf. And what are you doing with Mike Williams? They got $40 million guaranteed, 3-year, $60 million deal. Listen, the Chargers was that was a landing spot that I was hoping some of the rookie wide receivers would hit. Garrett Wilson, Drake London. Not so much. I mean, they bring back Mike Williams. They have Keenan Allen. They still need a tight end, but man, 40 mil guaranteed, 28 million in year one. Mike Williams, good for you, young man. He secured the damn bag. You know, where's he at in Dynasty? And is Josh Palmer, can we stop with the Josh Palmer is set to explode this year narrative? Please, can we stop?
I'm with you. I think that look, Josh Palmer, I mean, I think that if there was any kind of hope and sleeper stuff, and like I wrote this up today, like it's dead. It's just is what it is, man. Like, he's a mid-round pick. The talk about it and our hope for him was nice. It was cute while it lasted. But, you know, it is what it is, man. He's not going to be a thing. I do think it's really interesting. I'll have to go back and look and see how many picks the Chargers have in this draft. I think they could still add a wide receiver, Ray, as crazy as that sounds, because, I mean, look, you got Mike Williams. You brought him back. You gave him the money. You got Keenan Allen there. Keenan Allen's not young, man. He's 30 years old. Looking at his contract right now, yeah, he's not he's not a free agent until 2025, but looking at how they have his contract structured, as early as 2023, when he is going to be 31 years old, they could cut him if they wanted to and save 16.3 against the cap. So I think it's still possible they could go add some more weapons. And like, we've talked about it, like you and I have not talked about this, but we've been out there in the streets, like after the combine, after all these wide receivers blazing damn times in the 40 and what have you at the combine, there's a lot of guys like maybe they address the position, maybe not in the first round, but maybe, they go after a wide receiver in the second or third round, considering what this class kind of looks like. I think it's still possible they could add a wide receiver, but good for Mike Williams, man. Like I think that his dynasty value, I moved him up in my dynasty ranks. And I did that because previously in my ranks, I was accounting for the fact that he was possibly going to be a free agent. And we didn't know what that looked like moving forward. But knowing that he's going to be back in L.A., he's got the 3-year deal now. We'll see how this contract is structured. It looks like it's going to be top-heavy for about a year or two. It sounded like the first year they had like 28 mil guaranteed. So I'm guessing that a lot of it's going to fall off in year two, year three. But still, if you're talking even like 2-year window for Mike Williams, tied to Justin Herbert, one of the best quarterbacks in the damn NFL, young stud. We know where the ball is going. This team just paid him the damn money, and they don't have a tight end. Yeah, Austin Eckler's going to draw some targets. It's consolidated as hell for targets there. I mean, Mike Williams is still like, I mean, Ray, what would you say? Top 24 dynasty wide receiver right now?
Yeah.
I had him outside of that before this, but seeing as he got the money and all the situation and all those things like improved now, he's top 24 for me. Like, and I understand some of the age concerns and stuff like that. I mean, we're playing in 2-year windows, dude. We're playing in 1 to 2-year windows. And that's exactly what you're looking at for Mike Williams. So, yeah, I like him, man. Like, I like the fact that he got paid. I think that it's still possible that and I threw this out here, but I want to hear your take on it. Do you think the Chargers could go ahead and take another wide receiver and kind of layer this depth chart? Because – it ain't going to be Josh Palmer, and obviously, you know, they don't have a ton of faith in him. Could they go ahead and draft another wide receiver sometime in this draft?
I mean, I think they can, right? I think my hope, though, D-Bro, was that they got one of the top guys, right? Mm-hmm. So they got the 48th pick in the second round, you know, maybe – maybe a receiver falls there, but probably not. And then third, they can still add. I'm looking at a mock right now, and this is I don't know where. I'm not going to name this site because it's terrible. And they have George Pickens going there in the fourth round, 120th player off the board.
Pickens is not lasting with the fourth.
That's why not happening. But no. You know, if it did, that'd be awesome. But yeah, man, good for Mike Williams. I think he's insulated dynasty value. Again, another one of those players, me personally, D-Bro, if I have Mike Williams, I'd be trying to sell the shit out of him. Like, it'd be like, yes. Oh, got his contract, yep. 27 years old, you know, the health is always a concern. I'm getting out. Like, I'm done. I'm getting out of Mike Williams if I have him on any rosters. Let's touch on a couple of players that got tagged today. Dalton Schultz, tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. Chris Godwin, wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. David Njoku was tagged a couple of days ago, tight end for the Cleveland Browns. They now have David Njoku, Austin Hooper, and Harrison Bryant. And then Mike Gesicki gets tagged from the Miami Dolphins. A little surprising with the Gesicki one. A lot of people don't like Mike G. I like him, man. He's an athletic tight end slash wide receiver. I'm a big Dalton Schultz fan. Not at the expense of losing Amari Cooper, but what's done is done. And I think if Dallas does actually let Amari Cooper walk, Dalton Schultz is the number two option in that offense immediately behind CeeDee Lamb, which is good for him. Chris Godwin, we know he tore his ACL, so probably not ready for the start of the season. But, you know, hopefully this gives Tampa Bay time to work out a long-term deal with Godwin. I believe this is the second year in a row they tagged him, man. So hopefully they get something long-term worked out. Njoku, extremely talented. It feels like he's been in the NFL for 8 years and he's still 24 years old, 24-25. So good for Njoku. That probably means Austin Hooper is about to hit the road. And we'll see if Njoku can reclaim some of that first-round magic and allure that we had kind of placed upon him coming out of Miami. Davante Adams, you already touched on that. He was tagged. Just everything that's kind of happened today, what was most intriguing for you from a fantasy perspective? What was a little shocking to see? Like, just tell me where your headspace is.
Well, I'm glad you let off with Dalton Schultz, because I know that's your boy. I know you got your Dallas Cowboy underwear on right now and probably some swag people can't see on the podcast right now.
You know I do.
But I love this for Dalton Schultz, man. I'm a little bit surprised that Dallas is going to pony up that kind of cash for just 1 year of Schultz. Although I get it, with Jarwin still banged up, it sounds like he's not going to be ready to start the season. Dalton Schultz, man, it's fantastic. This is great for his dynasty value. As well as I'm with you. I think that he's the number two option for the Dallas passing attack. I think that it remains to be seen on whether they're going to bring Gallup back. A lot of people are talking about maybe Cedric Wilson comes back. I honestly don't think that Cedric Wilson comes back. I think that Dallas learned last year what the hell they need to do, and that's keep CeeDee Lamb in the slot. So I think considering that, that's why I think you see all this Amari Cooper moves on, all this Michael Gallup talk about him coming back, because they're like, we need to get an outside wide receiver or retain an outside wide receiver. So we have Lamb as the number one option, rolling out of the slot. That's going to put Dalton Schultz as the number two option. And, dude, he finishes the tight end five last year. At 104 targets, had over 800 receiving yards. I think that we could, like, Dalton Schultz, and people might think I'm crazy for this, I think he's got top three upside this year.
Let's go.
If they bring back Gallup, they throw the ball anymore. If Schultz becomes the unquestioned number two option in the Dallas offense, and we shouldn't be like thinking that that's insane, because he showed us that he could play and he could ball last year. If that happens, he could be top three tight end in fantasy scoring this year. I don't think that's insane at all. So love Schultz. I'm a big believer in moving tight ends. So, you know, you get them as buy lows, you pick them up off the waiver wire in a lot of different cases, like these guys we're talking about, Ray. And whenever those value crests, if you're competing this year, that's fine. You want to hold on to Schultz. You're not getting the offers, because it all comes down to you need the offers to move a dude too. Then that's fine. Hold him. But if you can, I'd be moving him. Same thing we were talking about in previous guys. Like, get a second for him. Move him. Tight end premium, still get a second. Peace. Gone. Bye. Find the next tight end that's going to sit here and gain some equity in the next year. And, you know, you get that guy, you roll with them, and whenever their value crests, then peace, bye. You get rid of him too. So like Schultz, the Njoku one, I don't know what the hell Cleveland's doing. Like, maybe they move on from Hooper, but that shit was wild. Like, why are you franchise tagging this dude? You got Harrison Bryant waiting in the wings. What you – you rolling 13 personnel in every damn snap? Like, get out of here with this shit.
Right, right.
Like, so that one surprised the hell out of me. I thought that we were going to get David Njoku and Mike Gesicki new landing spots. Like, whether that was with L.A. and they go to the Chargers or Indy or somewhere like that. But we're not getting that, man. Those teams robbed us of that. So, and Njoku is probably still in purgatory, and he's still going to be, I mean, at least for this year, you know, good luck. If you're holding him, I'd be trying to get rid of him. I mean, if you can get a third for him, go at it. Right. With Gesicki, same thing, man. Get rid of him. Peace. Gone. Bye. Like, yeah. I like him. I was a Mike Gesicki truther. If you like athletic tight ends and you like guys that are on the field to do one thing and catch passes, which that's Mike Gesicki's game, he's done a lot of good things over the last 2 to 3 seasons. Been top 12 tight end, top 10 over that span. He's probably going to roll back into that this year. But I would be trying to get out from under him if I could in Dynasty. He is probably – I'd say the one guy I'd probably be more likely let's play this out. Like, if you had Schultz and Gesicki on the same team or something, I'd be trying to get rid of Gesicki more than Schultz. Like, I'd be making a conscious effort to try to throw him in a trade, because he's a slot wide receiver. So, like, it's looking at him as being a free agent wide receiver, and what situations is he really going to go to that's going to help his value in Dynasty moving forward?
Right.
And I mean, you're really rolling a dice there. And for me, I mean, let me get out of there. Let me get the pick. Let me get, throw him into a trade and I upgrade somewhere. Like, you're dealing two wide receivers and you're moving up in a tier or something like that. Or, you know, you're same tier wide receiver and you move him and a wide receiver for a running back, something like that. Like, I would be trying to get rid of Mike Gesicki at all costs, any way that I possibly could. But do you feel any different about him?
No, I like Mike Gesicki. I'm a big fan of Mike Gesicki. But if I had him, I'm much like you. If I had him, I have no problem moving him. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, I have no issue pivoting off of him at this point. And I'm with you. I'd much rather. Dalton Schultz over Mike Gesicki at this point in time. Too much uncertainty with the Miami Dolphins, man. We think this Mike McDaniel guy is a good coach. We think he can turn Tua around and it's going to be an amazing offense, but I like him. If I have him and I can't move him, then fine. But would you take a second rounder for Gesicki right now in Dynasty?
I think most people would. I'd break my phone. I'd be pressing accept so damn fast on that. it is what it is, man. But I kind of hopped over Chris Godwin before we get up out of here. Got to talk about him for a second here, dude.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a hold. Like, if you can get rid of him, fine. But honestly, do we feel like Chris Godwin's star is kind of dim? Like, the hype was heavy. It was real. It was big. I think that, you go to check a lot of people's ranks, he's still ranked as a top 20 Dynasty wide receiver for a lot of different folks, but it doesn't feel like when you put his name out there in trades, especially now he's got the ACL and stuff. I don't think you're getting that top 20 value back. Do you think so, Ray?
Probably not. But listen, D-Bro, we're breaking. There's stuff happening while we're recording the show, so the people may hear. Yeah. So along with Russell Wilson departing Seattle, they have informed 8-time All-Pro and Pro Bowl linebacker Bobby Wagner that they are releasing him. So Seattle is releasing. They're blowing it up, man. Lockett's gone. Lockett's gone, man. Lockett's gone. So and then I saw this as we got ready to start the show. The Jacksonville Jaguars tagged Cam Robinson, their left tackle. Which, if you look at all the mock drafts, everyone has Jacksonville taking Evan Neal or somebody at the number one spot. This may signal that they may be going defensive end, number one overall. Maybe Kevon Thibodeau, maybe Aiden Hutchinson. I don't know. Yes, sir. This is the fun time. before the NFL draft is NFL free agency and players getting released and players getting traded. So, D-Bro, I think we within our next three shows, we're probably going to get a lot of action, a lot of action. So we appreciate everybody tapping in. Welcome back. We're happy you're here. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Follow Derek on Twitter. Follow myself at RayGQ. Follow D-Bro at D-Bro underscore FFB. And for FTN, Fantasy Football Podcast, we are out. We'll catch y'all next week. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast with Ray and Derek. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at RayGQ and D-Bro underscore FFB. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.